The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. But they also asked, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things we heard you did in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread through the land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on this Labor Day, we see Jesus' own job description. We also see how we're supposed to respond to it and how often we end up responding to the type of work he is continually doing. He's given a scroll, turned out to be what we would now call Isaiah 61, all about the Messiah who would eventually arrive. "Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Here comes what he's about to do: to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, to announce a jubilee year, a year of favor from the Lord. Then Jesus said words that are very important. "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." They could have handed Jesus any scroll at all, and Jesus, in his short little homily at the end, could have said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All of scripture is perpetually fulfilled in Jesus. He brings everything totally alive because he brings God to the present. Beginning every Mass with the Angelus, which we ponder Jesus' incarnation. And when we do that, we're not just thinking about something that happened in Nazareth between the Archangel Gabriel and the Blessed Virgin Mary a couple thousand years ago. We're pondering the fact that in a few minutes that incarnation is going to happen on the altar, and the incarnation remains in the tabernacle, and the incarnation is supposed to remain in us every instant of our life. That's the Lord's principal work, bringing himself into the present in order to bring us to totally new life and the joy that comes with it. But in order for this to occur, we have to recognize that we're poor in need of the glad tidings. So often Jesus says that he's come to call the poor, the blind, the lame, the crippled, for example, as he said yesterday. The only ones who are going to make it are not going to be those who are self-sufficient, who kind of have a relationship with God on their own terms because it enhances their life. But rather, we've got to recognize how much we need him. Second, liberty to captives. He's come to set us free. But we have to recognize what chains us, what binds us. Recovery of sight to the blind, especially in this year of faith, which we're called to see things with faith, with the night vision goggles that God gives us so that we can see what so often others miss and that we're not going to capture with our simple human eyes. That's what Jesus wants to do in us, but we have to recognize we need that help. Freedom for those who are oppressed. Not just us, but others, especially those with burdens. To proclaim a continual jubilee. Not just a day of the Lord, but a year of the Lord. We call every year since his incarnation AD, Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. Everything happens as one continuous year of the Lord's presence. So how do we respond to this? We know how Mary responded. She was a great Nazarene who received Jesus very well. But most of the others went from astonishment at first to some questions. Isn't this Joseph's son? To doubt. And then to fury when Jesus was basically saying they weren't accepting his work. They didn't want it because they had already boxed him into a tiny little category. They probably had furniture he had made. Could he do anything else? That they rose up and they tried to murder him. And that was, of course, a prophecy that would occur in fulfillment on Calvary a few years later. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. For us to receive Jesus as he deserves to be received, we have to recognize that we are his family members from baptism. It was to his natives, to those who are familiar with him, that he came and they rejected. That's why we need to have that good soil that allows the word as it's fulfilled to change us 30, 60, or 100 ways. That's the power of the word of God, no matter what passage is read. The first reading today we see in a very important element, one of the greatest things that oppress us is sorrow, especially at the death of dear loved ones. So St. Paul, giving us a word of the Lord, fulfilling the Lord's word in the present, says, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you might not grieve like all the rest who have no hope. We Christians are called to grieve. We grieve differently because we grieve with hope. What does hope really mean? St. Paul in his Ephesians describes what hopelessness is, and there we get the photographic negative of what hope is. Hopelessness is to be without God in the world. And therefore, to live with hope recognizes that God is with us in the world. And because the Redeemer lives, because he's incarnate with us, fulfilling all his promises in the present, not in its fullness, but in embryo, we can have hope even in circumstances that are among the most grueling human circumstances of all. Today, as we celebrate Labor Day, we need to ponder how the Lord wants to work in us so that we work differently than all the rest. We're called to work whether we're still working a 9-to-5 job, whether we're working part-time, whether we're working 3 jobs, whether we're retired, we've all got work to do. Not to work is to be dead spiritually. Jesus, God gave us the command before the fall that we were to do 3 types of work, to increase and multiply, which doesn't just mean physical human reproduction, that we were to till the earth and subdue it and bring some of God's greatest gifts out of even inanimate matter. For me, until the end of my life, Not only do we get glass out of sand, that amazes me, but we also get computer chips out of sand to run a whole thing out of sand. That's what it means to till the earth and subdue it, and then to have dominion over all creatures, to basically have self-mastery, and then to master the animals. Those were three commands that came before the fall. It was only after the fall that we would do it with toil, sweat, and pain. But we have always had that command to work. But we've got to work with the Lord. And when we do work, changes. Then our work makes us holy. It gives us an opportunity to help make others holy and bring them to the Lord. And it gives us something to offer with the Lord in the Mass to the Father. Pray, brothers and sisters, that this sacrifice, mine and yours, we unite all that we've done to Christ's work to the Father. Jesus, in order to do this, wants us to be open to his presence. And when we are, then our work becomes part of the redemption. One of my favorite stories comes from an ancient pilgrim's guide, one of the first ever done. It was by a priest who had been traveling down to Rome, and he was writing about all that he saw. And he stopped at the building of the Chartres Cathedral, which is where the pilgrims and I are going to be visiting in just over a week and a half. And as they were building, he saw a mason doing a technique he had never seen in his native Belgium. So he was curious about it, thought that it might be useful up, and he said, you know, what are you doing? And this mason looked up and he said, I'm building the cathedral to Our Lady. And then the priest said, no, what's this thing that you're doing? What's this technique? Why are you doing it that way? And he turned up and he said, I am building the cathedral to Our Lady. There's such deep significance there, that at a basic level, he was doing something with his mason's skill set. But at a deeper level, he was building the most famous Gothic cathedral ever. And even though his work seemed very small in comparison to that big project, he knew the big project wouldn't happen without the little work. So with regard to the work you're doing today, if somebody asks you what you're doing, whether you're cleaning up around the house, whether you're preparing a meal for a loved one, whether you're writing some letters, whether you actually have to go into a job site, if somebody asks you what you're doing, you should be able to say, I am saving the entire human race together with Jesus. Because that's the purpose of our work. Praise be Jesus Christ.